The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The race to succeed Steve Stivers as the representative for the Congressional District 15 on the Republican side is a crowded field. You guys know that. We've brought you an opportunity to meet Jeff Luray, to meet Ruth Edmonds, and today we are pleased to have in studio with us another candidate to succeed Steve Stivers. His name is Omar Tarazi. Omar is a Hilliard City Councilman, and Omar is one of the people in this race that has identified critical race theory and its teachings as one of the areas that he is emphasizing in his campaign as a danger to our country. And Omar, I wonder if you could tell our listeners, as you join us here in studio, a little bit about why that is something that is close to your heart and what energizes you in your battle to succeed Steve Stivers to serve as the Republican nominee in the 15th District.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me. Just a little bit of background about myself. Mm-hmm. I actually serve currently on Hilliard City Council. And I'm an attorney, and we've bumped into this issue a few times in the at the local level, in the Hilliard district level.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason being is that people are we get these training programs that come in, and they're changing the curriculum and so forth along these lines with critical race theory and the ideologies that go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are afraid to speak up because they are afraid of being labeled racist. They're mm-hmm. afraid of the name calling. They're afraid of all the things that come with standing up on these issues. And also frankly, not everybody has the time. Everybody's trying to just earn a living.
Sure.
So I get these calls, and they all know that I'm willing to actually stand up and say, hey, this is right, this is wrong, and these are the things that need done. Because my fundamental idea is we have to improve how we do our schooling. We have to improve as a country. But this right here is the wrong way to go. And so I did take a stand. But I realized that because this is institutionalized, it's being pushed by Ohio State University's yeah. Kerwin Institute. This is much bigger than just one school district. This is going everywhere. And while I do fundamentally believe that we need to, a big part of the solution is electing good school board members that can help lead a particular school district forward, ultimately this needs to be solved at the national level, where we basically redirect funds from sort of these counterproductive ideologies that are very corrosive to our social fabric and to what we're trying to be as a country, and are very divisive and turn people against each other, and put those resources to the more constructive paths that develop good citizenship, civic engagement, and good character.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. It is a battle to be fought at the local level, but it ultimately does have to be a battle fought at the national level. Omar Tarazi is our in-studio guest. He's a candidate for the Republican nomination to succeed Steve Stivers as a 15th Congressional District Representative. The runoff runoff primary is August the 3rd. I'm sometimes mystified, like, the level of commitment to extremely flawed and dark ideas. And I used to label them as ideology, but I realize now that they're more of a theology with people, that as much as I'm committed to my faith or whatever people find is the bedrock foundation in their life, people who are all in on critical race theory and all in on some of these whacked concepts out there, for them, it is a theology.
Yes, absolutely. The difference with of theology is that if you show them facts or debate with them, then you can win them over. But somebody who's in a sort of a religious theology, they're just sitting there smiling and nodding and hoping that you'll go away and run out of energy, and then yeah. they're going to go right back, or they'll just change the language. They'll use it. Critical race theory is a hot word now, yeah. so we'll replace it with some other word mm-hmm. and repush our ideology, 5 minutes later when nobody's paying attention. And that's exactly what happened to us with Hilliard, as it relates to that LGBT legislation. That was an email sent out by the assistant principal saying, hey, all teachers need to recruit all the students yeah. to start putting out letters in support. I ended up sending a letter immediately, even though, you know, like with all these issues, people are always afraid. I was told, don't do it and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, this is wrong. You don't recruit kids in school for lobbying.
To be lobbyists.
I don't care if it doesn't have anything to do with whether the legislation makes sense, doesn't make sense. It's not a lobbyist. The school's not a lobbyist engine. So I sent a letter. But again, I always try to take a very constructive approach. Like, look, if you guys want to teach the children about the legislation, we can do that all day long. We can come in there and explain what's going on, the pros and cons and all that. That's all fair game. And we're more than happy to work with you on essentially developing civics. And that's what we need to be refocusing on, is civics instead of activists. And with civics, that means you understand the pros and cons and what's going on, and we can help with that. And basically what they ended up doing is they ended up saying, oh, well, we're going to put a pause on what we're doing. So it's classic. It's just a pause. Let's let everything calm down. Everybody, nothing to see here. And then, of course, they go back to the students and go, oh, we're going to do this anyway. We're just not going to do it in a public way. And in fact, that's what they ultimately ended up doing. We ended up getting some 40, 50 anonymous letters written by supposedly students. Well, let's assume it's students in support of this legislation, talking about how much discrimination they're facing in the schools, when the legislation has absolutely nothing to do with discrimination in the schools. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. If they wanted to, it's so disconnected from reality sort of scenario that I think that was a very missed opportunity. But again, going back to your question, when people are approaching it from an ideology perspective, they don't see the ridiculousness of what they're doing, that they're missing the opportunity to actually teach. And instead, they're just playing games as if nobody sees what they're doing. And I think that that's, you know, something, the only way to fix that is to get good people elected to the school boards to really hold people accountable, get servant leaders as superintendents, not people who actually see all this as a good thing and are pushing all of this as a good thing. And then ultimately what I'm going to be trying to do on the national level is redirecting the funds and setting a different path for us on a more bigger scale.
How long have you been in Hilliard? How long have you been serving Hilliard City Council? And what motivated you to get into public office? Because you said everybody's busy. I'm sure you're busy. You're an attorney. But you chose to take time away from other endeavors to serve. What motivated you to do that?
I've always been my entire being is all about servant leadership. That's very integrated into our family. We've raised three Eagle Scouts and hopefully a fourth one on the way. One of them is my daughter, who's in that first class. Of Eagle Scout girls. So with servant leadership comes this, deep inner sense responsibility to not just, to go out and serve my community. And so I started off as an attorney. Of course, you're helping serving your community on a certain way, on a smaller scale. You're dealing with individual clients, individual issues.
Sure.
But then you go to the city level, which is what I got involved with at Hilliard City. I ended up getting involved in changing the charter, converting the city to a city manager form of government, really changing the culture of the city, really changing the direction of the finances and helping to rebalance. Of course, it's a team effort, but taking a very strong leadership position and sort of rebalancing all of that. So now, at this stage, the question ends up being is, so much of what we do at the local level is great, but if we don't get a lot of issues fixed on the national level, it's all can be easily torn apart. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running for Congress, is that a lot of the reforms that need to happen at this point need to be done at the national level in terms of on many topics. Among them, of course, is how we address our cultural issues, how we heal as a country, how do we bring people together, or how do we divide and turn everybody against each other? How do we handle our finances? Where do we put our priorities? Do we put our priorities fundamentally into building communities from the bottom up? Or are we focused on essentially consolidating power and cultural power at the very top, where the very top basically tells the rest of us how to live, what to believe, what to do, and how to exist? And I think that that's the fundamental divide right now in America, is that we don't know where we're going to go. Are we going to go in the path of, let's just consolidate everything at the very top and everybody just sort of does what they're told because they're too afraid not to? Essentially a culture of a culture of fear, a culture of following a centralized power. And I'm talking by power, I mean political power and economic power.
Sure.
Because we have a lot of power now consolidated in a few industries and Google, Facebook, these kind of things that have tremendous power over everything we do in our lives. Versus the alternative, which is the bottom up, which is the traditional family, church, religion, all those neighbors helping neighbors. And I think that that's fundamentally where I want to go, is retransition back to a bottom-up way of building a healthy, strong culture built around the individual, built around good communities, good neighborhoods, people helping people. I think that's fundamentally the answer and the solution, not essentially top-down consolidated power approach.
So Omar Tarazi, our in-studio guest, he's running to be the Republican nominee for the 15th District Congressional seat that was previously held by Steve Stivers. He resigned, and it's a big field. It's like a dozen candidates. Mike Carey has Donald Trump's endorsement. Jeff LaRae has Steve Stivers' endorsement. Did you get an opportunity to talk to Mr. Stivers or Mr. Trump for either one of those endorsements? And how do you become known in your district where this runoff primary will be held on August the 3rd? To get the name recognition, to get people to connect with you. I mean, August 3rd is going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the only endorsement ultimately that really matters is the endorsement of the voters.
Right.
Because they're the ones that ultimately see who is going to serve them, who really is going to get up every day, fight for them, their interests. And one of the things from my, you know, I've been making my whole campaign about is I think I will be as a representative of all, every single individual in the district, mm-hmm. all of the interests, the farming interest, the business interest, the, you know, I'm going to represent, be a representative for everybody. Now, as far as your question, no, I was not given the opportunity to interview specifically with Donald Trump. As Stivers, we've had communications off and on. Ultimately, the candidate matters much more so than the endorsement.
Omar Tarazi is our in-studio guest. He's running for Steve Stivers' seat, vacated when Stivers left to become the president of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. The August 3rd runoff primary is coming up. Omar is one of 12 candidates for the Republican nomination, and you talk a lot about a lot of the agenda items out there, from the liberal left to ingrain critical race theory, wokeness, whatever people want to call it. Why does this touch such a nerve in you, and why have you prioritized this in your campaign? Is it because this is the thing that you see that's at the root of the problems in our country, or because this is your best way to differentiate yourself from other candidates who maybe don't have your boldness and don't have your forthrightness?
No, I fundamentally think that who we are as a country and what we are as a country is the fundamental question that we have to answer. Are we giving, for example, the next generation, are we telling them that, hey, your inheritance is a racist, awful country with racist founding fathers and terrible institutions that all need to be torn down? Or are we giving them a nation that is aspiring to higher ideals, that's aspiring to lead the world to a better place, that made mistakes, we learn from mistakes, and we're always honoring the good that's been done and learning from the mistakes that have been done? And that's a fundamental difference in vision, essentially, as it relates to who we are as a people and where are we trying to go. Are we a people that fundamentally honor the individual and the degree that the individual serves others? Or are we honoring people based on their victim class status, where you're not really an individual, you're just one of that sort of community, and because we are missing one of that community on our board or on our whatever, we're going to select you as sort of a random specimen,
yeah.
And you're going to be the representative of women on this go or some minority group or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's a fundamental vision difference. And I think that the first vision is the one that I'm fundamentally standing for, and I think that's where we need to be. That's how we're going to achieve economic prosperity in our future. That's how we're going to unite as a country, because I think ultimately most Americans are there. There's a small group of people that are pushing the alternate ideology. They just have a lot of money behind them. They're pushing it very hard, and people are just busy in a lot of ways and are not paying attention. And I'm basically saying, no, this is really, really important that we are. This is the vision that we want for our next generation. This is the vision we want for our country. We want people to be proud citizens. And there's a big difference between developing citizens who love their country and want to make it better versus developing activists that are just looking to, everything is all some racist thing to be torn down.
You're listening to The Bruce Hooley Show, 98.9 The Answer, talking with Omar Tarazi, candidate for the Republican nomination for the 15th Congressional District. And Omar, just sit tight. We'll come back. I want to ask you a couple box-checking items that all Republican candidates typically stand for. I want to get your thoughts on those. You're listening to The Bruce Hooley Show. Back on The Bruce Hooley Show, pleased to be joined in studio by Omar Tarazi. Omar is a Hilliard City Councilman. He is running for the 15th Congressional District Republican nomination. And Omar, we went through a lot of your background and a lot of your positions on issues in the 5:30 segment. But as we wrap up here, I wanted to have you go through the typical Republican checklist of things that people want their candidates to stand for. Candidates who are pro-life, they want them who are pro-Second Amendment, they want pro-law and order, those kinds of things. I would assume those are in line with agendas that you support.
Oh, absolutely. I'm 100% pro-life, and I believe I just take a little bit broader vision on pro-life. I think life is yes, there's a conception, but we have to think about the quality of life for everybody in our country, and that's all part of being pro-life. Pro-life mm-hmm. is everybody being able to live to their fullest, and that includes the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
Second Amendment, I have lots of guns. I've always been a Second Amendment supporter, and that support ultimately comes from the Constitution, which I am 100% one of those that, as an attorney, I support. I don't support court packing or all these efforts that are trying to. I think that would absolutely destroy our system of government. We need to follow the Constitution, follow the law, and the law should be followed equally, not politically, which unfortunately nowadays we're seeing almost sort of a political application of the law where, depending on which group is doing what, there's the hammer comes down on some versus others. And that really gets back to the core of it, is we need to develop people with good character. This system doesn't work without good character, and we've gotten off of that. You need good character, then you need a system that everybody follows, and then we can start talking about reforming system in different ways. As far as law and order, 100% supporter of our law enforcement. We have a great police department in Hilliard. I do think that that's a whole topic in and of itself, of how do we reform the justice system in this country. I do think there's a lot of room for improvement. But the improvement comes with collaboration, cooperation, working with people that, almost everybody, I've never met somebody who's not waking up as a law enforcement official, a police officer, not waking up every day trying to make their community a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is can you work with them? And, there's a lot of these solutions. This is gets back to the local solution is the best. Federal, very high-level solutions that sort of gloss over all the various differences that happen from one community to the other end up oftentimes creating more problems than good. It ends up looking like a good press release, like, oh, look what we did. And it actually, on the ground, either is ineffective or causes problems. So every community needs to sort of take ownership of their community. If they have a bad police department or a few bad actors or whatnot, that it's about taking ownership of that and saying, okay, we're going to fix this. And working with others to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I always say nobody wants the bad cops rooted out more than the good cops, and the good cops far outnumber the bad cops. And it's the same way in your profession, your legal profession. It's the same way in my profession as a broadcaster journalist. The people who do a job poorly, substandard, without ethics, without integrity, they're the ones who we want out because they reflect on us. So I'm totally on board with that. We are talking with Omar Tarazi, 15th Congressional District candidate, the special primary coming up August the 3rd. And as we wrap up, Omar, it's an interesting district in that it is part city. It's got Upper Arlington and it's got some South Columbus in it. It's got some rural areas in it. I can only imagine how difficult it is to reach everyone. And I'm curious, it's a big job. I mean, you're one of 435 in Washington, D.C. You've served on Hilliard City Council. You've networked with people. I'm sure you've run into people who you disagree with philosophically, politically, strongly in Hilliard, yet you've been able to work with them. As you contemplated a run, tell me what decided to put you over the top in terms of taking on what is an enormous task, not just getting the voters' support, but then going to Washington and actually making a difference, not just being a placeholder.
Right, absolutely. I think that there's obviously turmoil within the GOP itself in terms of which direction we go. And then there's also broader than that turmoil as a national level of where do we go. I think I bring a very unique set of skill sets, background, insofar as I've, my heritage, my growing up overseas, all the various mm-hmm. cultural religious dimensions and issues that I've been dealing with throughout my life and throughout my career. That gives me a very broad perspective as it relates to how do you bring people together? How do you get people that are vastly different? Because oftentimes, most of what happens, if you really pay attention, it's people talking past each other, not to each other.
Mm.
So they create definitions. And then they get stuck on those. So I have abilities to, or my skill set to be able to see what are the differences really,
mm-hmm.
and then how do we negotiate around that? And I'm very proud of the fact that on City Council, that I've been able to get the support, and in my run actually, from very diverse people background and political leanings, because they fundamentally, even if they disagree with you, if they see that you're leading by principle. And if they see that you're fundamentally putting the community first, which is what I do every single day and what I would be doing for the district every single day, that gets people to trust you and it gets people to support you, even if they disagree on some particular, you know, vote or difference or whatnot. So that's basically how I want to lead at the national level. I want to be somebody that brings people together, people, and helps us go lead a path to a better, more prosperous future for all of us, which is ultimately what we want. And unfortunately, we're just very stuck in a lot of these debates and discussions and being turned against each other. And if you really look deep into it, a lot of those divisions aren't really there. They are in our heads. We are imagining each other in ways that we are not exactly true, and that's creating the problems for working with each other.
I think that's so true, the whole talking past each other rather than talking to each other, and a lot of that is people formulating their response before they ever really listen to an answer. That network that you have worked through, that process rather you've worked through in Hilliard, I think is an important asset in your favor as you try to get this nomination and seek this position. It's a hard fight. I wish you well with it, and I appreciate you coming in today. And I look forward to hearing more about you and more about your campaign as you move forward here toward August the 3rd.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate being on here and talking to you about these very important issues. I hope everybody gets out there and votes, learns about the various candidates, because that's what's important.
And if you want to know more about Omar and Omar's campaign, his website is taraziforcongress.com. That's T-A-R-A-Z-I, taraziforcongress.com. Omar Tarazi, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.